Welcome to Let's Talk Loyalty, an industry podcast for loyalty marketing professionals. I'm Paula Thomas, the founder and CEO of Let's Talk Loyalty and also Loyalty TV. If you work in loyalty marketing, you can watch our video interviews every Thursday on www.loyalty.tv. And of course, you can listen to our podcasts every Tuesday, every Wednesday, and every Thursday to learn the latest ideas from loyalty experts around the world. Today's episode is part of the Wiser Loyalty series, which is hosted by our partners, the Wise Marketeer Group. The Wise Marketeer Group is a media, education, and advisory services company, providing resources for loyalty marketeers through the Wise Marketeer digital publication and the Loyalty Academy program that offers the Certified Loyalty Marketing Professional, or CLMP, designation. I hope you enjoy this weekly podcast, the Wiser Loyalty series, brought to you by Let's Talk Loyalty and the Wise Marketeer Group. Just before we share today's episode, I want to ask you to sign up to the Let's Talk Loyalty email newsletter. Our email newsletter is by far the best way for us to keep you up to date with all of the latest incredible loyalty stories we're sharing each week. It's also the easiest place for you to find our show notes, with links to everything mentioned in all of the episodes. You can sign up at letstalkloyalty.com.
Hi there, I'm Aaron Dauphiny, CMO of the Wise Marketer Group and one of two hosts of the Wiser Loyalty series. For this week's episode and podcast, you have me solo since my partner, who is the CEO of Wise Marketer Group, Bill Hanifin, is mid-flight on his way home after being on assignment out in the Midwest of the United States. So for those of you who are listening in for the first time, or simply as a reminder for those that tune in each week, I did want to let you know that this series introduces constructs from our Loyalty Academy course curriculum. And of course, it gets into things that we find interesting and hope will help listeners to become wiser on loyalty. Each month, we also tackle constructs from a new set of course curriculum. And throughout the month of May, we're going to be talking about loyalty reward strategies and reward experiences, which is out of course 108 of our curriculum. We are back to a four-week schedule here in May. So we had five in April just before. And while we won't cover all of the content of this particular course, we will scratch the surface on about four topics over the next few weeks. And so without further ado, let's dive in, actually. Great. So I think I'll start by saying when designing a reward strategy for a loyalty program, there are a number of key considerations that you really want to think about for it to be appealing to your customers and in order for them to have them join and become a member, pardon me. Because I'm on my own today, I thought I'd keep things at a relatively high level to start this session off course curriculum off, pardon me, is a better way to say it. And rather than end on, you know, going on and on debating or comparing or contrasting on things against myself, I'm just going to do a bit of an experiment this week, change the format up and give you a list of factors that you should think about in developing your reward strategy. Given the time, I won't go into too much depth with all of them, but just kind of set these ideas up for you. And I won't list all of them that we think about when we look at our course curriculum as well, too. So just a starter package, if you will. So key consideration number one, I think, is an obvious Eddie. You really need to understand your members. And so by knowing the different archetypes of your member base, you can certainly tailor your rewards to resonate with their interests and needs, which, and this, of course, stems from information you would know about them already, such as their demographic information, behavioral preference data, and certainly motivations or even their needs state, if you've asked them that specifically. Number two, I think you really want to have a clear loyalty value proposition. So be communicating the benefits of joining the loyalty program and giving them reasons as to why they should be a member and should be engaging with the brand on an ongoing basis. Again, a bit of an obvious Eddie moment here, but some brands actually do miss the mark on this, which is that you really do want rewards that are attainable. And they have to be perceived value that makes them desirable to your target audience or in your program members. It's not enough to just to have a catalog of rewards, but they do need to be relevant. So just keep that in mind. It's a simple, high level, clear loyalty value proposition commentary. this guides nicely into having a spectrum of rewards, certainly offering a diverse range of rewards that caters to a different set of preferences is a good starting point if you have a customer base that's quite broad. This could also include things such as discounts, freebies, exclusive accesses, status-based benefits, personalized offers, aspirational awards like travel that we always think about, and now into experiential awards. So to hone that out for you, think of a cooking class with a Michelin star restaurant or chef if you're a foodie. And so having that broad range, if you have a broad group within your customer base, is a starting point. Or if you truly do know your members, as I said earlier, then you can start to curate your rewards offering to be more bespoke and specific. So a good example, we just spoke with a bookseller retailer the other day, and they give away free books in their programs. It makes sense, right? It's an applicable reward for someone who is an avid reader. I think on that, this idea of curated rewards, and it's kind of the personalization on the reward side of things, if you will, is starting to take off more and more. And so it's, I'd say, I guess, one of the most underutilized efforts around the use of the member data that you have and that you're capturing, and certainly the technology that you use in your redemption experience, is to take that information and curate it for your member to get a bespoke set of reward options for them and really personalize their entire rewards experience. I think there's lots of opportunity for us to do a better job of this on an ongoing basis as an industry as a whole. But what we do see a lot of good effort around is things like extending into goal setting programs so that you're very aware of the specifics of what the individual would want out of the program through to the reward recommendation engines that you know you'd be able to provide to them based upon that. Reward recommendation engines oftentimes are built off of customer preference data, purchase history, and behavior. Or you can also do it if you don't have specifics for an individual, you can do lookalike redemption behaviors more and more as a path forward as well too. At the end of the day, I always like to say, if you want to know what Aaron wants, just ask him. That's another mechanism. So, and that leads us into another consideration, pardon me, which is feedback mechanisms. So learning directly from your members, as I said, you know, ask Aaron what he wants and what he's going to be searching for in the enterprise value out of their program, and he will tell you type thing. You know, learning directly from your members in terms of what they want as a reward and the redemption experience as a whole is a very strong positive. Often rewards are the afterthought and not the forethought of how members will engage with your brand. So starting to flip that on its head a little bit. And by understanding your members, you know, satisfaction levels and preferences regarding the rewards and redemption process, you can really start to refine and improve for better interactions. And I'm saying interactions specifically over transactions. That keeps it to a point that is also another obvious moment, which is the ease of redemption or creating some frictionless redemption elements. And when I think of this, I think of the KISS principle, keep it simple, stupid. It comes to mind because I think that we over and over tend to overthink the redemption experience somewhat. And so I can't emphasize enough the value in making it simple, making it understandable, very straightforward for members to redeem the rewards. You know, really avoid complicated processes or restrictions that could deter participation as much as you can. And, you know, this might be a bit of a view that is not as popular for everyone in this industry, but, you know, in a utopian world, loyalty programs they would kind of ensure that every point is actually redeemed by members to get reciprocal benefit in whole. And so I realize that's a bit of a rose-colored glass statement that I just made, but I offered up as a bit of a North Star that lends you to think about how you can make your rewards and the rewards process for your customers as easy as possible to gain their loyalty. So just as a kind of higher mark. I know there's a few others here as well, but in the interest of time, I think I'll just talk about transparency and trust maybe as kind of the last one. When I think about transparency and trust, I think about how the program works in terms of the earning and the redemption rules, you know, making expiration policies very clear, making sure that you have few limitations or exclusions, but I know sometimes they have to be in the place, but being honest about them if they are there. So, because at the end of the day, you build trust with members by delivering on your promises and ensuring that they feel that there's equitable value exchange. You know, even better if they perceive that the brand itself is providing more value to them relative to how they interact with the brand. So there's not just equal, but there's additive. That's even better. So that's kind of my last kind of thought in terms of this list. There are other key considerations in rewards strategy that we cover in the course curriculum. And when Bill's back next week, we'll get together and we'll start to dive into some of these in a bit more detail. And in fact, go further on other constructs that are in the reward strategy curriculum. So thank you very much for joining me solo today. I really appreciate it. And we look forward to hearing, we look forward to offering you some new perspectives next week. Until then, have a great week and stay loyal.
This show is sponsored by Wise Marketeer Group, publisher of The Wise Marketeer, the premier digital customer loyalty marketing resource for industry-relevant news, insights, and research. Wise Marketeer Group also offers loyalty education and training globally through its Loyalty Academy, which has certified nearly 900 marketeers and executives in 49 countries as certified loyalty marketing professionals. For global coverage of customer engagement and loyalty, check out thewisemarketeer.com and become a Wiser Marketeer or subscriber. Learn more about global loyalty education for individuals or corporate training programs at loyaltyacademy.org. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Let's Talk Loyalty. If you'd like us to send you the latest shows each week, simply sign up for the Let's Talk Loyalty newsletter on letstalkloyalty.com and we'll send our best episodes straight to your inbox. And don't forget that you can follow Let's Talk Loyalty on any of your favorite podcast platforms. And of course, we'd love for you to share your feedback and reviews. Thanks again for supporting the show.